It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer-Kent. Spring is here, and with it, the desire to wipe away winter's grime. And for some, that grime is clutter. And when we get rid of that clutter, it can feel really good. Our guest tells us why Outer Order creates inner calm and gives us the tools to make it a reality. Did you used to stockpile things you had a hard time parting with, but have since come up with a trick to rid yourself of stuff you don't need? Well, tell us about it. How do you feel when you declutter? Why do you think it makes you feel so good? Are you trying to create order in your space but have hit a very specific roadblock? Well, maybe you'd like our guest's advice about it. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Gretchen Rubin is an author who writes about habits, happiness, and human nature. Her new book is called Outer Order, Inner Calm, Declutter, and Organize to Make More Room for Happiness. Gretchen, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm so happy to be talking to you.
Okay, so you say that getting rid of clutter and organizing our spaces has a lot of benefits. The title of your book implies that outer order creates a sense of calm. Gretchen, why is that? What do we know about how our surroundings affect us inside?
Well, you know, there's so many reasons why there's this connection between outer order and inner calm. I mean, on the most basic level, life is just easier. You can find things, you can put things away. You don't have to run out to the hardware store to buy a duplicate hammer, even though you know you have a hammer somewhere. So life is just quicker and easier. And then also often our possessions kind of give us bad feelings, like we feel guilty when we look at something that we've spent good money on that we're not using, or it's something related to a fantasy self, like, oh, I bought a guitar because I thought I was going to teach myself guitar, but then you don't teach yourself guitar, so you just feel bad every time you see it. And then there's also the feeling of engagement. When we get rid of all the stuff that's just clogging our surroundings, then we feel more engaged with what we have. We use it more effectively. And it feels good. I think people feel like they want to get good use out of the things that they have. And then if they're not using something, relinquish it so it can go serve someone who will actually use it instead of it just being wasted by sitting unused on our own shelves.
Gretchen, you say that managing your possessions improves your emotional attitude, physical health, intellectual vigor, and your social life. How can organizing the spaces we inhabit have such a profound impact on all of these areas of our lives?
Well, you know, that's the very reason that I was prompted to write this book, because it's funny to me what a disproportionate boost we get from something as simple as clearing clutter. I mean, we can all agree that in the context of a happy life, something like cleaning out your coat closet is trivial. You know, cleaning up a messy desk, I mean, what difference does that make in, you know, in the context of is your life a happy life? And yet over and over, people tell me that when they do get rid of the things they don't need, don't use, don't love, they do feel a greater sense of focus, a greater sense of hospitality, a greater sense of energy, even a sense of possibility. I had a friend who said to me, I finally cleaned out my fridge, and now I know I can switch careers. And clearly, like, there's sort of an irrational element to this because, you know, why does making your bed make so many people feel so much better about starting their day? And yet over and over, people say they do feel this connection. So it's worth thinking about because it seems to have a disproportionate boost to us.
We're talking about decluttering our lives and the benefits that we can accrue from that. Gretchen Rubin is the author of Outer Order, Inner Calm, Declutter and Organize to Make More Room for Happiness. How do you feel when you declutter? Why do you think it makes you feel that way? Share your decluttering story or ask Gretchen Rubin a question at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Gretchen, before we get to some practical ideas for creating this outer order, why is it you think that there's so much, we're hearing so much about this these days, Norwegian death cleaning, KonMari, get rid of things that don't spark joy. You've got a book. There's just been this focus on getting rid of stuff. Why do you think that is? If we hit some inflection point in human history where we're all going to get rid of our junk?
Well, you know, I think that's a very interesting question. I think a couple things are coming together. One is I think the world feels very noisy, very crowded, very uncertain, very overwhelming. And I think many people just feel like, oh, my gosh, with everything that's going on in the world, I need to create a sanctuary. I need to create some peace and order. You know, if I can't control the world, at least I can control my kitchen. And so I think that there is a desire to try to achieve some kind of individual equilibrium by trying to create more order within our own environments. Again, they're not that related, but it's often true that when you feel like you have more control over your stuff, you feel like you're more in control of your life generally. And actually, it often will help you to turn outward and to think about the problems of other people and the problems of the world when you feel like you have mastery over your own things. But then I also think that we're at this demographic point where there's a lot of people now who kind of have it coming and going. So they're in the season of stuff in that they have little kids at home who create massive amounts of clutter and disorganization. But then they're also inheriting things from parents who are dying or downsizing. And so they've kind of got stuff coming at them from both directions. And that's just a lot to manage. It's a lot of decisions to make. It's a lot of emotions to face. And then you got to figure out, okay, well, do I want it? And if I don't want it, what happens to it? You know, what do I do with my mom's armoire? And so I think that there is this feeling of a lot of people searching and talking about, well, what are the solutions for this? How do I think about it? And how do I move forward so that I really just have the things I need, I use, I love in my own space?
So is there a population of people who are most susceptible to feeling the kind of anxiety you're talking about, maybe a bit of sadness from the way their room, their home, or their office space is organized?
Well, you know, that's an excellent point. And one thing that's very striking is that we're not all the same. We all have different challenges. Like, there are overbuyers who want to buy stuff all the time, so they have a lot of stuff coming in. Then there are underbuyers like me. We don't like to buy things, but then we don't like to let go of anything either because we worry that then, well, what if we had to buy something? So we create clutter, but different kinds of clutter. And also, people want to get to different places. Some people really love a lot of simplicity. They want minimalism. You know, they want, like, two shelves of books or a capsule wardrobe. But then other people are abundance lovers, and they want to clear clutter and that they want to get rid of stuff that's just clogging their surroundings. But they want to end up with profusion and choice and collections and abundance, and they want a lot of things on the counter and on the coffee table, whereas a simplicity lover doesn't want that. Again, emotions. Some people aren't that emotionally attached to their stuff. It's pretty easy for them to kind of sit down and think, like, well, do I need this? Do I use this? Do I love it? No, I'll get rid of it. But then some people, every possession contains important emotions and memories. And you really have to take, if you want to go through your stuff effectively, you have to respect that. Many people do have strong emotional attachments to their possessions. And that's part of human nature for many people. And so it's not to say, well, you're wrong to feel that way or you need to ignore those feelings, but to say, given that that's how you feel, how do you think through the emotional attachment that you're experiencing so that you can get rid of things you don't need, don't use, don't love, but in a way that does respect that bond that you feel to the things that are in your surroundings?
I know personally, the older I get, the less attachment I have to stuff and the more I'm willing to just say, you know what, take that to the local thrift store. I'm just not interested in it anymore. Maybe there's something to that. But let's talk about how to declutter. Is there a right way to do it?
You know what? I really don't think there is one right way. There's no magical one-size-fits-all solution. And a lot of times experts want to say, like, here it is. I'm going to give you the seven things you have to do and the right order and when to do them. But the fact is people are different. Some people love to do, like, a giant effort. Like, they'll take everything out of the cabinet and do everything in one big burst. But then some people don't have the time or the energy or even the inclination to do something like that. And so they can do things like follow the one-minute rule, which is anything you can do in less than a minute, you do without delay. Or you go shelf by shelf, where you just do one shelf at a time. Some people want to do it in the morning. Some people want to do it at night. Some people want to do it by themselves so they can focus. Other people want a companion who can help them with the drudge work and also help them sort through the decision-making. So there's really no one right way. And what I tried to do in the book was to throw out lots and lots of ideas so that each person can say, hey, this strikes a chord with me. This sounds kind of fun to me. This sounds like something I can do. I feel fired up to go do that. This other thing, yeah, I don't really feel like that's going to work for me. I'm just going to skip over that. Maybe I'll try it again some other time.
Okay, so if I'm in the one-and-done camp, what's the best strategy for cleaning up the place in just one day?
Well, one of the things to do is don't tell yourself I'm going to get organized. Because a lot of times people who want to get organized feel this very strong impulse to run out to the store and buy complicated hangers or, you know, storage containers. There's a binder. I don't know what it is about people in their binders. They want to buy binders, filing cabinets. But a lot of times if you use the test, do I need it? Do I use it? Do I love it? I think that is the most useful questions to ask. Do I need it? Do I use it? Do I love it? If you get rid of it, of all the things you don't need, you don't use, don't love, you may not need to get organized at all. I was talking to a guy the other night who thought, again, he wanted to run out and get binders and get his paperwork all organized. But when he actually looked at it, he realized that a lot of it was related to pet insurance and that it was all online anyway, and he could just get rid of all this paperwork. He didn't need to get organized. He just needed to evaluate, did he need it, did he use it, did he love it? And when you really do that, that's when you get rid of things like the bread maker that you haven't used in 5 years. I mean, I myself just recently got rid of a pair of leather pants. I mean, what was I thinking? You know, I mean, that's a fantasy self. You know, when you really searchingly go through your things, a lot of times you're left with a much simpler situation than you may have thought that you were facing. It may be very easy for you to just put things on the shelf and, you know, kind of in some kind of reasonable order, rather than getting really deep into some kind of, you know, complicated set of organization.
If you have questions about decluttering your life, how to go about it, when you should do it, why you should do it, any of that, if you have decluttered your life, share your story with us at 800-642-1234. Gretchen Rubin is an author who writes about habits, happiness, and human nature. Our conversation about clutter and inner calm continues. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Spring cleaning is an annual ritual for many of us. It's time to get rid of all the dirt that accumulates over the winter. Well, maybe that accumulation includes clutter. Getting rid of clutter can really feel good. Gretchen Rubin, a New York Times bestselling author who writes about habits, happiness, and human nature, is with us today to tell us why outer order creates inner calm. And we're getting the tools to actually make it happen. Did you used to stockpile things you had a hard time parting with, but have since come up with a trick to rid yourself of all this junk? Well, tell us what that is. How do you feel when you declutter, and why do you think it makes you feel that way? Or maybe you're trying to create order in your space, but have hit a roadblock. You'd like our guest's advice on it. Well, we're here for you at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Gretchen, we have some callers. We'll go to Dan, who's calling us in Drummond. Dan, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Yeah, one of the things that I've collected over the years, over 40 years, has been record albums. I've had different people give them to me and like that. And what I plan on doing through the summertime is going through, sorting them out. And there's a place down at Hayward called Hole in the Wall that takes record albums. And what I'm going to do is give them to him with the understanding that half of the money will be for him and the other half of the money will be donated to the Hayward Food Shelf.
Okay, so Dan is getting rid of his LP collection. Vinyl, by the way, is actually pretty popular these days. But is this a great example of something that someone's been hanging on to, maybe collecting dust for years, and now it's time to part with it?
Yep, this is an outstanding example of you know, really thinking, if I don't want these things anymore, if it's not giving me pleasure, maybe it's kind of crowding my space, how do I, you know, get rid of it in a good way so that it'll go to the people who are interested in it? You get some financial benefit. You're also giving money to a cause that you value. I think this is an elegant, like such a thoughtful solution, rather than just being like, oh gosh, I can't figure out what to do with these things. I'll just leave them on the shelf year after year after year, even though like they're not giving me any joy. So I think that's a fantastic solution, on, you know, for so many reasons.
What is it that drives us to cling to certain things, even though they might sit in a drawer or a box or a plastic tote, unseen, untouched by us for years? What is it that causes us to just hang on to stuff?
Well, partly it's just easier to hang on to things. I mean, like the caller, he had to figure out, okay, where would I take these things? I need to work out a deal with the owner of the store. Like, sometimes it's just easier to just shove a box under the bed and leave it there and forget you even had it. And then sometimes there is the decision, like, okay, I have to go through and I'm going to pick out, you know, my 10% favorite. But that's going to require emotional and intellectual energy of me to go through it. And maybe I feel like I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. Sometimes we have collections of things that gave us so much pleasure in the past that it's kind of hard to say, well, you know what, that part of my life is over now. Sometimes we just, it feels like a kind of a memento of our past self, our past interests. So sometimes what you could do is maybe you take your one very favorite album and you frame it and put it on the wall, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I remember how that was a big thing in my life earlier, but I don't need shelf after shelf after shelf of something that's taking up space. So I think there's a lot of reasons why it's easy to just default into keeping things, which is why one of the best ways to clear clutter is to never acquire the stuff in the first place. You know, even if something's free, don't take it unless you really, really want it and need it, because eventually you're going to have to figure out what to do with it, you know. And a lot of times that takes a lot of time and energy and even money to get rid of stuff that we got for free. So, you want to always be very mindful.
We have another caller. Katie is joining us from Eau Claire. Katie, good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show. What's your question or comment for Gretchen Rubin?
Good morning. So I have kids and they, you know, have stuff, a lot of stuff. And so I have decided that one thing that they bring in means that another thing goes out. And I've brought that into my own closet and into the rest of our house. And it has helped us immensely in terms of getting rid of clutter.
That is a great suggestion, and I've also heard of people sort of as a version of what you're doing is they have a certain number of hangers, and it's like, you know, if I buy something that needs to go in a hanger, that means something has to come off a hanger because I'm not investing in any more hangers. So I think that's a great way of making sure that what you have is what you need right now. It's what everybody's interested in right now, and you're constantly, and in a very low-level way. It's not like it's taking a huge chunk of your time to do that. You're doing it consistently over the long term. It's easier to keep up than to catch up, and what you've done is figured out a way to stay caught up so that you never end up with, like, the giant playroom full of toys that is going to take a huge amount of effort to deal with. A really, really good solution.
Katie, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. Let's go next to Pat in McFarland. Pat, good morning. You're on The Morning Show. What's your question or comment for Gretchen Rubin?
Well, I've got a comment. I'm the pack rat of the family, and my wife says I tend to put things in corners. Mm-hmm. And we have an agreement that she just goes through and takes my stuff and throws it away. And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
That's great. I mean, it's often a conflict that one person is tidier than the other one, but it sounds like you're just like, I want to keep it, but if you want to get rid of it when my back is turned, that works for me. So that's a good, many pack rats aren't as obliging as you. So I think you get points for being a good sport about it.
Is it possible, can we be too quick to throw things away? One of our producers, Laura Pavin, says that growing up, her mom would toss things out that Laura ended up needing later. She just didn't have a use for it when her mom asked her about it at the time. How can we avoid this type of situation in our own lives?
Well, I think it is very important to respect people's property. So, like in the case of the caller, his wife, they had an agreement, so she knew it was okay. You don't want to start throwing away people's things without asking them, because it breeds distrust and then also kind of like furtive hoarding and stuff. But if the mother's saying, like, do you need this? And the daughter's like, no, I don't need it. I mean, once you see a pattern of developing, maybe you need to have a different way of asking that question. Like, can we put it in a box And if I find after 6 months I don't need it, then we can put it away. Let's put it in a holding pattern. But if a daughter is saying, like, oh, 10 years from now, I really wish I'd had that, like, Easter bunny from when I was 3 years old, you can't hang on to every single thing on the off chance that, like, you'll reach back into the distant past and want it. So I think it's about striking that balance and also taking pictures of things. Sometimes if what you want is the memory, you can take a picture of it, and then you have the memory. If it's something that you need, you know, I don't know what that would be. That's something that you would need. You know, often you can just go get another one if you need it. If it's something like your journals from when you're in sixth grade, that's the kind of thing that I think you really should err on the side of keeping, because it's truly irreplaceable. You can never get that back if you let that out of your hands. And so that's the kind of thing where I would say really, really examine whether that is something that you want to let go of, because you can't get it back. Something like, oh, I really needed a protractor. It's like, well, we can get you another protractor. Maybe it's a drag to buy it again, but, like, if you need it, we can get another one.
I just recently finally dumped all of my college history class notes, and that was a real traumatic moment for me. Let's take a call from Mary in Wauwatosa. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks. I am dealing with things that came from my parents, like photo albums and things that had emotional meaning to them. And I feel so guilty getting rid of them. How do you deal with the guilt of ridding yourself?
And Gretchen, we have less than a minute left.
Well, it's hard. I think what you can do is pick the things that hold the most memories. You know, you don't have to keep all of their furniture or all of their china, but, like, one thing that's very special that holds their memory and holds the respect for their possessions, but then you can let go of the others.
Gretchen, thank you so much for this conversation. Our audience clearly seemed to really be in tune with this whole clutter thing, and maybe we'll all get our lives in order. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. I'm coming to Milwaukee on May 16th do a live event, so I hope to see some Wisconsin's in.
Oh, goody. That'll be great. We'll get the place cleaned up before you get there. Gretchen Rubin is the author of Outer Order, Inner Calm, Declutter and Organize to Make More Room for Happiness, and host of the Happier with Gretchen Rubin podcast. Just ahead, Milwaukee's planning to provide doulas to 100 new mothers in one of the most troubled neighborhoods in the city. We'll hear all about that coming up on The Morning Show. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.